Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. My name's Luke. It's my podcast. That's why it's called Luke's English Podcast. The English part of it is because it's for people who are learning English as a foreign language. That's right, there's millions of you all over the world. You're all desperately needing to improve your English. Many of you live in countries where it's very difficult to find native English speakers. So what you want is an authentic source of real English. You could listen to movies on DVD, but you know, they're, all those movies are scripted. It's not really natural English. Let's see, you could listen to the news, couldn't you, on the radio or on the internet? But to be honest, most people don't speak like that in real life. On the news, they speak in a different way, in a slightly unnatural way, which is not really the same as the way most people in their everyday lives use English. For example, on the news, for some reason on the news, everything sounds like this. That's the way people speak on the news. Obviously, we don't normally talk like that, do we? So you want, you're looking for a great source of really natural conversational English. Perhaps some British English, because most of the English that you probably come in contact with through TV shows and movies and so on is American English. And that's great. I love American English. More people speak American English in the world than British English. But I know that a lot of my listeners really want to hear some British English because of various reasons. Some people prefer British English. Some people consider it to be the original form of English. I'm not sure about that. Obviously, the language changes all the time. The English that we speak in Britain is a bit different to the English they speak in America, but doesn't necessarily mean one is better than the other. Let's see. So, those are my listeners. I'm sure you're one of those people. You need a good source of English to practice your listening. You also want to kind of learn more about the culture of the English language, maybe the culture of the UK, that kind of thing. You also would like to hear a variety of different accents so you can get a sense of all the different ways in which we speak English. And also, I'm sure you want to pick up lots of really, really useful bits of vocabulary, natural things. So you've come to the right place. This is where you're going to find all those things. It's Luke's English Podcast. I do it on my own, in my free time. I'm an English language teacher who works in London. I've been teaching English for about 10 years now. I've got loads of experience of English teaching. I teach in a language school in Holland Park in London, and I teach general English exam courses, business English, legal English, and everything else in between. So you know that you can trust me as a decent source of English language teaching. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this is amazing. Is it all free? Is this free or do you have to pay? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is free. It's completely free. But bear in mind that I do have to pay for the web space. I have to pay the company that hosts this website. I have to pay them every month. And so I do ask people to, if they listen to the podcast, I ask people to make a donation to me just to help me cover the cost of running the website. It would be ridiculous, wouldn't it, if I did this and I actually lost money every month. Well, the fact is I do often kind of lose money. I spend money on this so that you can get free English lessons online. If you're a business person, you'd probably be thinking that's ridiculous. It defies every sense, every kind of business idea that you might have. You know, obviously the idea is you make profit. I'm not making any profit, that's for sure. So I can't really call this a business. Instead, it's a kind of an experiment, really, for me. and it's a kind of hobby and a chance for me to practice doing things like presenting, maybe using my voice on radio, that kind of thing. It's a bit of fun for me. Plus, I know that there are people in parts of the world, like in places like India or parts of Asia, for example, where they really have no access to facilities, no access to native English speakers who teach English, and all of the materials that are out there are very expensive. So I like to think that somehow I'm helping the world. People who are in the difficult parts of the world, the developing countries, who have an internet connection, they can listen to this and learn English for free, which is a very good thing as far as I'm concerned. So I know what you're thinking. Enough of the chat, Luke. Get down to the point, will you please? What's this episode about? Well, this one is about kind of Scotland and the Scottish accent. Now, I'm doing a series of podcasts. I'm doing them very slowly because I've got various other things going on in my life. But I'm doing a series of podcasts about different regional accents in the UK. So in this episode, we're going to be looking at Scotland and the Scottish accent. Now, I interviewed a teacher I know who works in the same school as me. She's been teaching English for years and years in different countries. She comes from Scotland originally, but she's lived in Brazil and lived in England and lived in other countries in the world, so she's kind of an international person, but originally she comes from Scotland, and I'd say she's a pretty good spokesperson for Scotland and you know, things like the Scottish accent and Scottish culture. So I thought I'd interview her. Her name is Leslie. She's really nice, really lovely, and she's got a lovely voice, a very pleasant Scottish accent. So I asked Leslie a few questions about differences between English culture and Scottish culture. And I asked her questions about the Scottish accent and how does the Scottish accent sound. And Leslie talks about features of the Scottish accent. Obviously, I can't really say the Scottish accent because that's a generalisation. There are actually many different types of Scottish accent, and Leslie will tell you all about that in the interview. Now, I'm just going to post this on the site, and I don't have time to write a transcript for it now, but I'm going to post it up, and when I find the time, I'll put a transcript on there. Now, I expect some of you don't really need the transcript, and you're happy just to listen. You don't need to read while you're listening. You just want to practice your listening skills. Others who are listening to this probably want to read the transcript so that they can understand every single word. I understand that. But since this is a free thing, I can't always do all of the hard work and type out the entire transcript. But let me know if you feel like you can't really use this episode without a transcript. That's reasonable, but let me know and then I can start writing a transcript for you. So let's see, here's the interview with Leslie, and it's a genuine interview with a native speaker from Scotland. Here we go. Yo, what? All right, let me tell you about this feature. It's an interview with a native speaker. And if you find it difficult, I'll give you a hand. And then in the end, you'll completely understand every single word they said. Nice. Whereabouts are you from?
Well, I'm actually from Dundee, which is probably the third biggest city in Scotland.
Right.
And it's on the east coast. It's just a bit further north than Edinburgh, about an hour, really, in the train.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And but you're living in England at the moment.
Yes.
So how long have you been here?
I've been in London. Well, this is actually my third time here, living here. Mm. But more recently, this is probably year three.
Right, okay. So, let's see. I thought that I'd ask you then, considering you've been living here for a few years, I think it's okay. It's still working.
Okay.
Yes, it's still recording.
Uh-huh.
Because you've been living here for a few years now, right? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed any differences between life in England and life in Scotland?
Well, in my case, it's a little complicated because I actually left Scotland when I was about, I finished university there and then I came to London for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was probably about 21 at the time.
Mm,
And I lived here for a couple of years and then I went to Brazil.
Really?
And I stayed there for 20 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Really, whereabouts did you stay in Brazil?
Most of my time I spent in Brasilia, the capital.
Yeah.
But the last couple of years we were in São Paulo before coming back to Britain.
Do you speak Portuguese?
Oh, yes, I speak Portuguese at home.
Do you really? Mm. At home?
Yeah.
So your husband's Portuguese?
No, it's even more complicated. I met my husband in Brazil, but he's from Iran.
He's from Iran?
Yeah.
Okay, but you speak Portuguese to each other?
We speak Portuguese to each other because when I met him, he didn't speak English.
I see.
Both started the relationship both speaking horrific Portuguese.
Right, but now you speak fluent Portuguese. Right?
Now we both speak fluent Portuguese and our children, of course, were brought up there, so they're bilingual, really.
Right.
But Portuguese
is
the language at home.
Wow, that's amazing. So do you speak Portuguese with a Scottish accent?
I don't think so, but a Brazilian would probably say that we are definitely foreigners.
Yeah.
But I don't speak as bad Portuguese as an English person might speak it.
Okay. Because?
Sorry.
That's all right, because...
I think basically because Scottish is a bit harder and it's much better for Portuguese. The sounds are quite... strong, and so I think it makes it easier.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
Well, so okay. So you've lived in Portugal in Brazil for most of your time, or a lot of
my life was spent there.
Yeah.
But coming back to Britain, I think one thing that strikes me is that your Scottish accent never really leaves you. Now I don't know how deliberate that is. Mm. I do remember as a young person trying to hide my Scottish accent.
Right. Why? Why would you do that?
Exactly. This I can't really work out, but I think I probably just wanted to fit in with everybody else.
Yeah.
So I tried to dilute it a bit. And also I was teaching, so I had to be sure that I wasn't teaching all my Brazilian students a wee boy instead of a little boy.
Okay. That's interesting though, isn't it? Because it kind of raises that idea of what kind of English... should we teach?
Exactly. Should it be the standard BBC English, or are we allowed to speak the English we know?
I suppose, I mean, it seems that most of us teachers have decided that there's a kind of standard BBC style RP kind of English that we should teach,
right?
I think
you're right, Luke. I think so.
But nevertheless, I think when students, for example, come to England, or when they listen to people speaking English, sometimes they're kind of shocked by the fact that they don't understand something.
Mm.
And they think, I met this man in the pub, and I can understand everything you're saying, Luke, but this guy, I couldn't understand anything he was saying. I think he was from Scotland. Right? That's what they always say. It's like, I think he must have been from Scotland.
The people that they don't understand must be Scottish.
Exactly, yeah.
I know.
So I guess from the point of view of our students, we've got to at least show them all the different other variations of English that they're going to come across.
Exactly. And the more they're exposed to these differences, the better it is for them.
They might choose to speak in a kind of BBC English style, but they should at least know... or be aware of the different styles of English. Okay, all right, then I guess now we're talking about accents, aren't we?
Yes, I think that's what we're doing.
Is it fair when people say that there's a Scottish accent? Like people say, I think he had a Scottish accent. Is that fair to say that?
Well, I think it's probably true because even when I'm listening to people and I know they're obviously Scottish, I don't necessarily know where they're from, which part of Scotland they're from.
But you know that they're Scottish?
All the time. Okay. And I will always recognise even a slight Scottish lilt because it is quite distinctive.
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference in Scotland is the difference between East and West.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's the obvious difference. And I think most people will pick that up if they're exposed to Scottish English in any way.
Okay, so is Glasgow in the west and Edinburgh in the east then?
That's right.
And, revealing my knowledge of Scotland.
But anyone from the west, and it could be anywhere, and I would never automatically get it right, anybody in the west will always say something like, so you're going away for the weekend.
Okay. Right.
That's the kind of sound they would say. It's always...
So you're going away for the weekend.
That's it.
Okay.
Whereas on the East Coast, I think I don't know if I'm being fair here because I am an Eastern person, but I think it's a bit more musical. It's not so much but it's more like singing. So we go up and down a little more. So we kind of bounce along and try to pronounce things in the right way.
Okay. Right.
So it sounds a little more pleasant to the ear, I think.
You're saying basically that the east of Scotland is better than the west.
Well, obviously, Luke, this is my opportunity to get it out there.
Right, okay. All right, so you could say then the East when East is a bit more sort of sing-song or something like that.
Yes, it's a little more musical. I think it's a little more pleasing to the ear. But, of course, there are people from my home city that I cannot understand because they just refuse to speak any English that anybody can recognise, and it can be horrible.
Right. So you get, I suppose, there are... I mean, just like there are all over the country... In Scotland, you get dialects which are kind of region-specific.
Yes.
To a certain extent. And when you get those extreme dialects, they can be... They're so far removed from like received pronunciation that they can be difficult to understand.
That's right, that's right.
And just like in any other part of the country, you get that in Scotland.
You do indeed. Yeah. I think you would also have to say that there are specific vocabulary words which are different.
Mm. Yeah.
Just as I said before, the we.
Yeah, we, that I hear that's something that I recognise in Scottish dialect or whatever.
And it seems to be becoming fashionable. I hear a lot of Americans saying it now.
Oh, yeah.
Wee boy.
And oh, yeah.
It does sound a little strange when an American says it.
I guess a lot of Americans kind of think, oh, you know, I'm going to get back to my roots and my, you know, my great grandfather's uncle was Scottish. So, you know, I like to use we because it, you know, brings me back to my heritage. I can't speak a very good American accent.
Yes, but it's true. I mean, people, strangely enough, love to think that they have Scottish origins. I'm not sure why.
I had a friend from New Zealand and she used to say wee things.
You know, oh,
she
really?
She used to use bits of sort of Scottish English, but I think that maybe because in New Zealand there's a lot of Scottish people populated New Zealand. So
the Scots have gone very far all over the world, and I think anybody who has any kind of connection to Scotland will really appreciate it much more than I possibly would do.
Right.
So it's quite funny that.
Okay. Can you give me any more examples of
the
accent?
The Scottish accent is basically the R sound. When we are talking about my new dress, which is bright red...
Right.
I think a Scottish person would quite normally say bright red.
Okay.
So we do roll the R's a little.
Mm.
We don't do it an awful lot. You know, you hear comedians talking about bright. I don't think anybody actually ever says that, but we do it once, bright. We give it a bit of a snick, if you like.
Yeah, a bit of a roll.
Yeah, that's
more,
right.
More than me, because I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say bright. I'd never say bright red.
No, because it's a lot of tongue work, in fact, when you have to roll the R a little.
Yeah.
Bright.
So that's one feature of the Scottish dialects.
I think another difference might be there are four words that an English person might say in two different groups. If you look at bath, every day I have a bath, and I like to have a good laugh. With my friends. Now in Scotland we would probably not make the difference between bath and man, because we say bath, I'm going to have a bath, I'd like to have a laugh, and I met a man and it was a trap. So in fact that A sound is all the same in Scotland.
So in England we say bath, laugh, but then we say man and trap.
That's
so
right. You have two different sounds for the
like,
A.
Yeah, so it's like in many parts of the north of England as well. They do the same thing.
That's right.
They so don't say, bath, I'm going to have a bath.
And then I'm going out to the pub and have a laugh.
Yeah, I'm going to have a right laugh with me mates. And then I'm going to go home and have a bath. But they would
and
say man
home and
trap.
A man.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's actually something that divides the whole of Britain. It's not just a, well, it's I mean, it's somewhere around
North
Birmingham.
North-South divide, I think.
It divides the south and north of Britain as a
whole.
That's right.
I think that's true.
People in the south say Bath and Laugh, and in the north they'd say Bath and Laugh.
That's right.
All right. Anything else?
Another thing I was reading about recently, funnily enough, the Scottish accent seems to be becoming a bit more fashionable than it used to be.
Yeah.
In a recent survey, I saw that a Scottish accent is desirable in business.
Really?
Conveying above average honesty in the personality of the owner.
Right.
Now, that's an interesting one.
That is interesting.
Considering the banking
disasters.
Exactly. Yeah, recently with the big Scottish banks collapsing.
Royal Bank of Scotland.
That's right.
But that's interesting because I heard that too, that the Scottish accent conveys a kind of sense of trustworthiness, particularly around money.
Exactly. That's what they say. Yes, for any financial reports or serious money matters, they do prefer a Scottish accent because it seems to promote sobriety. Now, that's a laugh in itself.
Yeah.
Most people think that Scottish people are drunk all the time.
That's a cliche or stereotype of the Scottish, is that they drink a lot.
That's right.
But another cliche is that they hold on to their money.
Oh, yes. Stinginess.
Right.
Oh, yes. We're renowned for this. And funnily enough, I only ever heard that Scottish people were tight-fisted or stingy when I went to Brazil.
Right.
I had never heard this before.
Well, you only realise it when you kind of step outside the world that you live in.
And in fact, if you think about it historically, I suppose there is a certain amount of truth in it, because Scottish people have always been the impoverished cousin of the English. So I suppose they never had a lot of money.
Yeah. So they kept hold of what they had.
Exactly.
Because the English came and stole it from them.
Exactly.
But it's true, because my bank, Lloyd's TSB, right?
Yeah.
They got a phone bank service, and whenever I phone them up, it's always a Scottish person.
Is it really? I'm sure
that they've employed Scottish people for that reason. Well, maybe they might have done. But
it's
every time I call them, they say, "Welcome to TSB Phone Bank."
And, this is Maggie speaking. How can I help?
How can I help you with your money, Mr. Thompson? And it just does make me think, I'm in safe hands here.
Oh, well, right. Yes, it's possibly true. And in fact, I think it is true. I do, possibly because I'm Scottish, but when I do hear a Scottish voice on the phone, I think, well, now, just let's stop talking about whatever we're talking about. Where are you from and what are you doing down here? It's quite interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Another one that I always forget until I go home, and as soon as I go home I start saying it, is the word I.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we use the word I all the time when we're agreeing with somebody. So it just means yes.
Right, okay.
So I, are you going to the pub tonight? I think I will.
Right.
So it's a homely word for me, and as soon as I go home, I start saying it.
It's the sort of thing you'd see in a kind of, advertisers use it, don't they, to conjure up an image, like an advertisement for some whiskey or something.
Oh, yes.
Would you like a wee dram of whiskey?
Hi. And that's another interesting part, the sound of ugh.
Och.
Now, yeah. English people find that very hard.
What does och I mean?
It just means oh, yes.
Right.
So, och just means oh.
There's a cliche, isn't there, that Scottish people say, och I dunno. Och I dunno. But what is that? Do people say that in Scotland?
No, I've never said it in my life and I never will. Right. But it's just one of these little cliches that has appeared.
So, and och I just means oh, yes.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Okay.
So I still keep on saying och quite frequently, but I've dropped the I.
Yeah.
But
so if I said to you, for example, oh, it's a lovely day, isn't it, today?
Yes, it is, Luke. You're right. I've been here too long. Obviously, Luke, it's time to go home, I think.
Okay, that's the English way of saying it.
Yeah.
Okay, right, I think we're pretty much done here. It's very interesting to hear from a genuine Scottish person, even someone who's spent most of their time in Brazil.
Exactly. I fled my home as soon as I could. But no. It's funnily enough, though, I do often think about going back to Scotland.
Yeah.
Having been away. And it's only when you go back that you see how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think how many people actually live in Scotland, the population of the UK is about 65 million now or more.
Yeah.
And how many people live in Scotland?
Not many. It's about 10 or 15%.
5 million.
Really?
Yeah. And if you think of the geographical size of the country, it's not that much smaller than England.
Yeah.
But most of it's just mountains and sheep.
I mean, it's... If you want wilderness in the UK, then Scotland is the place to go.
That's where to go, exactly.
And you have mountains and you've got weather. You've got, like, the sky is incredible in Scotland. Yes,
the sky is something to see, but the weather is not our most famous advertisement slogan.
It's even more extreme or even more changeable than the English weather.
And
people come to London and they complain about the weather, but that's nothing compared
to... Put them on a train to Scotland, Luke, and then they'll know what weather is.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Thank you very much, Leslie.
You're very welcome, Luke. It was nice to speak to you.
So that was the interview with Leslie, and I'm sure that you'll agree she has a very lovely sounding voice. And I hope that you found that to be interesting and useful in some way. Stay tuned for more episodes of Luke's English Podcast in the near future. I've got various plans up my sleeve. Including some more podcasts about different accents. I've been doing some sort of research, if you like, on the internet, and I've been collecting various samples of spoken English and trying to get a range of samples from different accents. So I've got, coming up, I've got ones about the, for example, someone with a Scottish accent and, let's see, a kind of London Cockney accent as well. I'll be looking at that. In the meantime, you can check me out in various other places on the internet. I've got a page on YouTube. So if you just go to YouTube and search for Luke's English Podcast on there, you'll find some of my videos. You can also find me on Facebook. Just go into Facebook and search for Luke's English Podcast. I've got a page there. What else have I got? I'm on Twitter as well, and I kind of tweet every now and then. My name on Twitter is just @EnglishPodcast. And I'm also on Audioboo, which is a kind of audio version of Twitter. So if you just go to Audioboo, that's AUDIOBOO.com, and search for Luke's English Podcast, you'll find me on there as well. I think that's it. I think that's all. I'm on iTunes. And of course, there's the homepage, which is http://teacherluke.podomatic.com. I'm sure that you're going to check it out. There's various things on offer. You can comment on that web page as well. There's a comments box on the right. In fact, that's probably the best place for you to go for all your Luke's English Podcast needs. Just go to my page. You can search on Google for, you guessed it, Luke's English Podcast, and you'll find everything there. There will be more podcasts in the future, but that's it for now. Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have a very lovely day, a very lovely night, or a very lovely morning, or evening, or whatever time of day it is you're listening to this. I don't know. You're all over the world, aren't you? I mean, you know, you're probably in some far-flung corner of the world, in a different time zone, where they do everything weirdly. Like, you know, you probably drive on the right, don't you? You probably drive on the right side of the road, which... although it's called the right side of the road, it's actually the wrong side of the road to drive on, I think you'll find. And in England, we do it the right way. We drive on the right, and by that, I mean we drive on the left, if you see what I mean. I'm just joking, of course. It doesn't matter what side of the road you drive on, does it? Doesn't make a difference. Obviously, the important thing is that you just make sure you're driving on the correct side of the road, whatever country you're in. A lot of people come here to the UK and they say to me, why do you drive on the left-hand side of the road, Luke, in London? And I say, well, it's because that's the law, you know, and it would be dangerous to drive on the right. But what they mean is, why do all of us in the UK drive on the left? And there are various reasons for it, apparently. A lot of people seem to think that we're the only country who do it, but it's not true. The large parts of the world drive on the left side of the road. Like, for example, India, which is, I think you'll agree, a very large country. India, let's see, Japan, they drive on the left. Australia, New Zealand, other places that drive on the left as well. I think large parts of Africa drive on the left. And in a few other places, I'm sure that you can name them. Obviously,
Ireland, Republic of Ireland, they drive on the left. In the UK, we were talking about changing so that we would drive on the right, like the rest of Europe. And the plan was that they would just phase it in over 5 years. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Okay, thanks. It wasn't such a good joke. Come on. Okay, settle down. Settle down now. Okay. Okay, calm down a bit. All right. Okay, I expect some of you listening to that won't have understood the joke that my studio audience found so very, very funny. So let's see, shall we? Right, so I said, yes, in England we drive on the left, but the government were thinking about changing it so that we drove on the right, but they were going to phase it in over 5 years. So to phase something in is to, let's say, introduce a law. Maybe you introduce a law, but you introduce it over a long period of time so that the law gradually starts to be put into force, right? But obviously, with something like driving on the left or driving on the right, you can't phase it in, because either you drive on the left or you drive on the right. You can't sort of gradually, you know, change the law so that after 5 years, eventually, we all drive on the right, because that would be ridiculous. It wouldn't work. So that's the joke. I'm sure you found it extremely funny, especially when I explain it in such detail like that. It really kind of does a lot of wonderful things for the mechanics of the humour. Obviously, what I'm saying is that if you explain a joke, then it doesn't it stops being funny, doesn't it? Nevertheless, you've got to understand it, haven't you, I suppose? So that brings me to the end of this edition of Luke's English Podcast. Have a very, very pleasant time, whatever time zone you're in, and whatever side of the road you drive on. Thanks very much. Bye, 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 bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.